Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Residents across Northumberland County are raising concerns about the county's response to the number of seniors facing homelessness. They want to know, what is the county doing? On today's show, those people will get their answer. Rebecca Snellgrove, Associate Director of Housing and Homelessness, will provide detailed answers relating to the multiple programs and services the county has in place to help seniors facing precarious living conditions. If you are someone or know someone who is in trouble or worries about their situation, you will want to listen. I'm so pleased to welcome back Rebecca Snellgrove, Associate Director of Housing and Homelessness for Northumberland County. Good to see you again, Rebecca.
Good to see you, Rob.
Over the past few weeks, there were several stories about a number of seniors in 310 Division Street and the Executive Director of the Help Center saying there is a 15% increase in the number of seniors facing possible homelessness. There are people asking, what is the county doing? Let's start with the basics. Are there any programs specifically for seniors to help them if they are having trouble staying in their home or potentially facing homelessness? Now, I want it to be specifically about seniors, not something general that might apply to them. Do we have anything specific in the county?
Sure. So I think, you know, first thing I will say is that it's important to understand that our homelessness and housing supports, similar to those across the province, are designed to serve anyone experiencing serious housing need. And we don't typically prioritize services based on demographic groups. However, we provide supports and services for people in need. So we do, though, have some unique programs that specifically do benefit seniors in our community.
Okay, so I think that's important, though, that you make that distinction between programs for a specific demographic versus programs for of general use. So let's then break it down, and let's go through a couple of these programs and help us understand how a senior might be able to take advantage of them. I'd like to begin with the shelter benefit. What is it in general?
Yeah, so I think so. The shelter benefit is a program that supports flexible financial assistance for people who are facing imminent risk of eviction or are trying to get into housing after a period of homelessness. So, for example, there can be funds to support first month's rent, last month's rent, utility arrears, rent arrears, all sorts of different things that may keep someone housed or help them get into housing, moving expenses, all sorts of things in that way that people can access through that, through those funds.
So this is an emergency kind of help, like if you're you've missed a bit of rent and you're feeling a little bit threatened, but maybe you've just got to wait another month, or maybe you'll be getting some money coming through. This is something that'll bridge that gap so that you don't face potential eviction.
For sure. Or you have an eviction order from a landlord. So that's one thing, too, that I think a lot of folks maybe don't understand either. And that's part of the work we do. So I do want to talk a little bit. I'll answer your question, but I do want to talk a little bit specifically about our outreach program, because I think it's really unique and it's really important for this conversation. What a lot of people don't know is that if you get an eviction order from your landlord, they have to go through a landlord-tenant hearing. So you have a right to stay in that unit until after that hearing. until after an order is granted, and then ultimately until the sheriff comes and, changes the locks on the unit. Ultimately, we always want to try to find somewhere to go before a sheriff comes and puts your things into the middle of, the sidewalk, so to speak. But there is lots of time in that eviction process for tenants to be able to, with assistance, navigate some extra supports, pay off those rents, the rent arrears, pay off all of those pieces if it's truly just a matter of financial, to navigate through. We always recommend that tenants, both tenants that we have under my hat of landlord with the Northumberland County Housing Corporation, as well as supporting folks in other rental areas, to always go talk to the legal center and make sure that they understand their legal rights as a tenant, and they are making sure that they are getting those rights adhered to, I guess, in those circumstances. So all of those things are things that we can help with.
So under this system, you're talking about the landlord-tenant side of it and the legal side of it. This program then, how does that plug in? What steps can they take to plug into your program then?
Sure. All anyone needs to do if they are looking for supports is to call social services or come into our office. There are a group of intake workers who are able to do an intake with individuals to determine which program stream they are eligible for and where they need support. And this is a really great segue for me to talk a little bit about our community outreach program, Robert. So Northumberland County is unique, actually, in our commitment and ability to support seniors through our community outreach program. Our outreach program today talks a lot about homelessness because that's part of its core mandate, is to be out on the streets and doing that work. But when this outreach program was founded several years ago, the core part of its core mandate is the provision of service to individuals who are not on provincial social assistance programs. So, for example, social assistance programs meaning Ontario Works or ODSP, such as individuals who are seniors who have aged out of Ontario Works and ODSP, right? They're in receipt of CPP and OAS, maybe GIS. Also, we often support maybe folks who are considered working poor. As well. But seniors is a big group of our population that we support with these things. So, what happens is when someone calls in who's not eligible for our Ontario Works program or a referral back to the provincial ODSP program, they're referred to our outreach program. And that outreach program works with those individuals who often, I think to your point, Robert, don't know what services are available to them to help support. And so we work to connect them to services, what resource exists, and often how we can help. And we often can help meet their basic needs through shelter benefit or emergency assistance. We can help them for a very short term, help meet those basic needs. And this What some of this work includes is, access to food banks, emergency shelters, offering short-term financial assistance, completing those referrals to senior-specific programming like Ontario Health at Home, Community Care, the Help Center, our Community Paramedicine program, and other community programs that support individuals more writ large in our community. So that's one of the programs that's really important in this conversation, and it's not a mandated program. So this is a discretionary program that the county has invested in for more than a decade to ensure that our seniors are supported and have access to those services.
You have this outtake worker who reaches out when there's a referral. But I can imagine, there's got to be for some people barriers. Maybe they're feeling ashamed, or maybe they're a little proud. They don't want to have to take help. They'll find a way. They'll make it work. What can you say to those people who are hesitant to make these connections, even though they may be in a precarious situation?
I think what I would say to those individuals is we understand the hesitancy. I get that, as a society, as a community, we often want to be strong and not ask for help. What I would say though is that you're not alone. The income support from any provincial and federal programming, including CPP and OAS and GIS, are not sufficient to meet the needs. And I would encourage people to reach out to us sooner than later. Sometimes what we find is when people reach out, they've hit a very, very hard point of the gap has gotten so big, it's almost hard to climb out of. And if we can help on that more prevention side and try to get those supports in on time, we can sometimes help people prevent those drastic experiences that might happen over time.
But if somebody does get themselves into a pickle,
Yeah.
can they still reach out? Can they still get help?
They 100% can reach out. And I think that's why the other thing I would say is that it's so important that we continue to educate people about their rights as tenants and renters. So, your landlord may say, here's an eviction order, you need to be out now. Don't leave that unit until you've talked to the legal center, right? To make sure that that's accurate. Or that I mean, when a sheriff comes, then you do have to leave. But to really make sure that you understand those rights and you advocate for yourself. And self-advocacy is so hard. We're good at advocating for other people sometimes. But really make sure you know those rights. And if you're in a pickle, call us. We'll do our best. Sometimes we can't provide the solution that people want. But we work with people to navigate the road that is in front of us and how we can move through that as smoothly as possible.
And too, I can imagine for some people it would be very scary. I mean, when landlords are saying things and you're trying to figure stuff out, and it's easy to get a little confused or feel
Yep.
overwhelmed.
100%. And I think it's so, that's why I think it's so important that we have those resources out there, like the help center, like the legal center. And I can't stress enough how important it is that tenants go and talk to the legal center if there is any sort of conversation that you're not sure about, that we go to the legal center and ask for that legal advice rather than trying to maybe do a Google search on our own, which we all do. But sometimes that can lead us down, the wrong path. And going to get that legal advice that's available in our community is so important. And they can support you through the process. So I think that's so important.
And two, I mean, when you've got a landlord talking to you and maybe you have some recollection of what used to exist or what the laws used to be, they're very different now, and things are the process is not quite the way it was in the past. So there's all lots of new information all the time.
For sure.
Let's go back to the programs then.
Yes.
I'd like to talk about the Canada Ontario Housing Benefit. Again, if I'm a senior, under what circumstances would I be able to get help?
So there's a few different housing subsidy programs. So when we talk about Canada Ontario Housing Benefit, for those who might not know, this is a program that is funded through the provincial and federal government. It's tax-based. So the way it works is it's actually administered by the provincial government, and the county, as a service manager, gets to refer people to this program. So people come, they get their application, we identify households for a referral. There is no wait list for this program. And it's intended from the provincial and federal government, it's really intended to support folks experiencing or at imminent risk of homelessness. So since the program has launched in the 2020 2021 fiscal year, over 40% of the households in Northumberland today in receipt of COB are over the age of 55. So we are seeing an older population who meet those priority criteria. We also have created a county funded, we have also created a rent subsidy program through our homelessness prevention program funding. We've called it the Housing Stability Program, and it also provides a monthly rental subsidy. And it re that one really focuses even more so on people experiencing homelessness again, or those who are at imminent risk of homelessness. And again, within that program, we have about 30% of those individuals over the age of 55. So again, that's another housing program that we have that supports seniors. We also partner with Habitat for Humanity to offer the Renew It and Renovates program. Those are programs that support low and moderate income households to make accessibility upgrades and critical home renovations so they can stay in their homes longer. And again, that's a program that is often subscribed to by seniors.
Let's talk a little bit more about this through repair and renovation. So,
Sure.
one of the things you talk about is accessibility. So, could you give us a couple of examples of the kind of thing that would fall under that umbrella?
Yeah, so this program, we're in about year seven, I think, of this program. And so some of the work that we do for accessibility, for example, we've installed lifts to get, maybe the front steps are raised or an accessible ramp. We've supported households have a bathroom repair that's accessible. We've helped seniors maybe move a laundry facility that's in the basement up to the main floor so that they can have that. Some of the other things we've done is heating, so a lot of furnace replacements, window replacements, roofs, some septic repairs. Some of the repairs we've done, even work with converting maybe a wood heated home to something that's propane for senior couples or senior homeowners who can no longer manage the carrying of wood inside and loading up their wood stove. So we've helped them switch to an easier to operate heating source, for example. So those are the kinds of things that we do with that program.
Before we go on to the other programs, you've mentioned a number of things, but is there a lot of paperwork? I mean, what's involved in applying or trying to access these programs?
So I would say that the Renovates program likely has the most paperwork. And that's because it's a loan. It's a forgivable loan. So if you stay in your home for a period of 10 years, the loan is written off completely. Otherwise, it's forgiven equally over those 10-year period if you were to sell your house, for example. And those are requirements of the provincial government. But that's also why we partner with Habitat. So at Habitat, they have a staff member there who helps people fill out that paperwork to income test and do all of those things to make sure they're there. For the Canada Ontario Housing Benefit or our housing stability program, there are applications that have to be filled out for that, but we also have staff members here at the county who help people do that. So we actually have a housing caseworker who acts. One of their roles is to act sort of like a triage. So someone calls and says they need help paying their rent, and based on their circumstance, they're going to make the determination of which program stream is the most appropriate for them, and help them navigate where we're going to funnel this individual to. And things like that could de be determined on, do they already have a rental agreement? Are they already renting and they need some support, as an example? Or do they meet the priorities of the COB or our HSP program? Is there monies left in the COB program? And really working through those on a case by case in the moment triage with people.
When you say COB, you're meaning the Canada Ontario benefit. Is that
Yes,
correct?
sorry, Robert, yes.
Did I hear correctly, though? You're going to ask people about their finances.
Yes, yeah. So all of our programs are income tested.
Okay. Are there going to be any personal questions?
What do you mean
Things.
by that?
Well, just, I know name, address, those kinds of things,
Yeah.
but will you be asking me anything beyond the standard demographic information, location, those kinds of things?
I can't. The big one is the income threshold. It's hard. It's a harder question to answer than it should be because everyone has a different understanding of what is really personal to them for me to ask, right? For example, so we're going to probably want to know your living situation. So who's living with you? Who do you pay rent to? For our outreach program, we focus a lot on budgeting. So recognizing we provide short-term financial assistance, how can we work, like, let's talk about your budget and how we can help navigate that. So again, those could be seen sometimes as personal questions. But it really depends on the different service that we are connecting you with as to how that would go about it.
Obviously, if you're working with somebody, you're maybe filling it out in paper. Is some of this done online? Does somebody have to have access to online to get this done, or has to be technically proficient?
No, they don't. They can come into our office. They can call us. They're paper-based. We in our outreach program, we work with even emails. So if that's easier for someone, we can do that. Our outreach team is also mobile. So if someone is having a hard time from a more rural community, we can go out and meet. Maybe not on a day like today with the road conditions being as they are, but we can get out to people and help make those connections as well. The only application right now for the outreach pieces that are online. So Ontario Works does have some online pieces, but again, a senior typically is not eligible for Ontario Works, is our housing application. So our housing application for rent geared to income is online, but you can also come in and fill it out in person here too. So it's available as an option, but it is not required.
Let's talk about a few more programs. I
Sure.
understand there is the Affordable Housing Grant Program. How does it work?
Oh, that's a great question, Robert. When I was preparing, I hadn't thought about that program, but that program has really supported some seniors in our community. So, I'm really happy to talk about that. So, the Affordable Housing Grant Program is a program that supports homeowners and other organizations create new units of affordable housing in our community, and they can be eligible for up to $20,000 per unit. So we do have quite a few units in a like in what we call a conditional approved stage where they haven't quite gotten to shovel ready and construction beginning. So we're waiting for that point. But we have been able to support three or four additional dwelling units in the last year or so. And those do support seniors, aging parents, those kinds of things with independent living, accessible living, near family to support them as they age.
You've mentioned earlier the Northumberland County Housing Corporation.
Yes.
Does it do anything that might help seniors? You talked a bit about it. Could we talk a little bit more, and especially of how people can get in and take advantage of this?
Yeah, so it's a great question. The challenge that we see, and I think this is what was talked about by the Help Center as well, is that the wait list for community housing, which is the rent geared to income housing, has grown exponentially over the past several years. Anecdotally, what I can say is that when I started in my position, which was almost 10 years ago now, the wait time for a senior to get into a housing unit might have been 6 months to a year. And now it's quite a lot longer, many, many years longer than that. And I think that really highlights the increasing demand in the face of more limited supplies. And the fact that we're seeing this, and this is why we talk about it from a provincial perspective, because housing and affordability is a symptom of multiple systems at the provincial level not meeting demand. So, for example, when we think about what the max income folks on assistance front with provincial and federally supported income, we have someone on Ontario Works, a single would bring in a max of 733 a month. Someone out on ODSP, a single on ODSP would bring in a max 1400 a month. And someone, a senior on a combination of CPP, OAS, guaranteed income supplement or GIS, we're talking around 1700 at the max for a single person. That's not what rent costs anymore. So across the board, these provincial systems have not caught up with demand. That said, though, what I can tell you is that locally, we have on our centralized wait list for rent geared to income housing, we have about 40% of the people on that wait list are over the age of 55. We also know that the existing community housing stock, so that could be from the NCHC or our local nonprofits and co-ops who deliver that RGI and reasonable market rent housing, is made up of, we have about 800 units right now across the county. And again, around 40% of those units have an age requirement that limits eligibility to older adults. So again, we have 40% of those on the wait list, and we have about 40% of the stock that is geared specifically to those older adults. And I say older adults because each building can be a bit different. We have a couple buildings that are 50 plus, some are 55, some are 60, some are 65. So I'm just saying older adults because it just gives me a broader term. But we also know that, this also leads us to why we're increasing affordable housing stock through new builds, and trying to work with the provincial and federal government for greater investments. I also can tell you that of all of the tenants that the NCHC houses, I would say that well over half of all of our tenants are seniors. Because it could also be a senior who is residing in a unit that's not geared to a senior population, right? So seniors can be in any unit. It's just that non-seniors can't be in a senior unit. So we do have a very large population of supports that we are providing through housing. And then it's how we tailor community programs and partnerships. So, for example, we bring into many of our buildings, we have community paramedicine coming into our buildings to do programming with people. Community Care Northumberland comes into some of our building to run tenant programming. And then it's all about the casework that we do to support people aging in place. One of the needs that we see a lot that when we talk about systems, that I think is important to acknowledge too, is the inaffordability and lack of access to retirement living and long-term care. So we have folks, most often seniors, both in the homelessness system and in the housing system, who need to be or who would be best suited to be in a long-term care assisted living environment. And we are working through with them to get them assessed to get into these programmings, but maybe their needs aren't quite critical enough to get them right into long-term care. So we are supporting that individual through shelter services or through the warming room when they really should be in long-term care, but they can't get in. Or we have individuals within our buildings as the NCHC who need to move into long-term care. And we're working with them to try to get them on those lists. And as it becomes harder and harder, as folks' cognitive ability declines as an age-related thing, condition, illness, sorry, for us to be able to build those connections. And many of the folks in our buildings don't necessarily have strong family or friend connections that can help them do that. So we sometimes see these symptoms showing up in, maybe rent's not being paid. And so now we're going in and then we start figuring out what's going on with individuals. And then we have to respond accordingly. The other thing we see with seniors too, and this happens across the board, is the impact of gender-based violence, intimate partner violence, and elder abuse on seniors, particularly senior women. It is a very large purport it, a very large proportion of senior women navigate this, and the impact of a cognitive decline on either one of the spouses and the impacts that that has, particularly in a rural community. We saw that with the Ryan inquest from a few years ago at the hospital here locally. And so when we talk about supporting seniors and housing, it's, I think, and homelessness, I think this is why when we talk about it, we have to also talk about, yes, what we do locally, but we also have to talk about these larger systems that are broken or are also not meeting the needs and are leaving us with these pieces to navigate and families to navigate, right? I think we all know. We can all think of a family friend or someone we know who's trying to get a loved one into a long-term care facility and can't. And so I think that is also a big piece of these conversations around seniors housing and seniors experiencing homelessness is where those other systems are there to help pick them up.
If you were to give advice to seniors or anyone listening who knows a senior, what would it be?
I think if I could give a message to seniors who are struggling or worried about becoming homeless, I mean, it would apply to anyone in this scenario, regardless of their age, is that you're not alone. This is not a reflection of you personally. These are systems that have created challenges for all of us to navigate, and affordability across the community is becoming more and more of a prevalent topic. We see you. We're here to help. If you're struggling about housing or worried about keeping your home, please connect with us. The earlier, the better. We can help explore those options like benefits and housing supports and pathways to longer term housing. Homelessness is traumatic. Housing instability is traumatic, but there are supports along with people who want to help. And we really are committed to expanding these connections, humans to humans, and creating a community that is more inclusive to all of our residents in Northumberland County.
Rebecca Snellgrove, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Robert.
That was Rebecca Snellgrove, Associate Director of Housing and Homelessness. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.